This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Weird baseball season. Weird everything in 2020. Stupid COVID. But the White Sox and the Cubs are going to the playoffs. So the Dream World Series is alive for now. First time since 2008 they're both going to be in. The Cubs, a matter of days here, will clinch. White Sox have already done it. I don't know if that's a dream or a nightmare. That's going to be tough to take, man. Cubs-Sox World Series. That's a lot of agita, don't you think, guys? I don't know if I can handle it.
You'd be able to handle it, Carmen. You'd be able to handle it. You'd have a big smile on your face.
If the Sox won.
And a yellow shoe.
Yeah, there's a lot on the line there for
you'd be a happy
both
camper.
Sides of town.
It'd be tough to take, man.
The win is like, that's like the holy grail if you're either a White Sox fan or a Cubs fan versus the worst of the worst.
I know. Then it's not going to be easy if it happens. I mean, I'll take it. Don't get me wrong, but boy, oh boy, is that going to be a wild ride. We'll see a month from now. Let's bring in our buddy Chuck Garfine. He covers the White Sox for NBC Sports Chicago. And he joins Carmen and Yurko on the Corona Hotline each and every Friday at about this time. And you can also check us out on the ESPN Chicago app. Chuck, boy, you're going to need a lot of Pepto if it's going to be Cubs and the Sox in the World Series, right?
Yeah, I mean, it would be incredible, obviously. And if it happens, great. I wouldn't mind pushing it back so we can experience it in a normal way.
I'll take that, yeah.
But if it's Cubs Sox, I'm not going to be complaining if they both meet in the World Series, that's for sure. But, wow, it would be very – so 2020, right, for the Sox?
Oh, yeah,
Cubs,
I know.
Finally,
yeah.
Come back and play in a World Series. It's been over 100 years, and we have a freaking COVID situation. But – yeah, sign me up for a Cubs Sox World Series. I don't think I'm going to complain about that.
Has Ronaldo Lopez figured something out after coming back up, or is he just doing it with smoke and mirrors?
No, he's figured something out. And I haven't talked to him to see specifically what he's doing, but what I see happening is he's commanding his pitches more. I think he's trying to make outs. You know, like, I think he was just trying to, before, you know, he's had this stuff and, you know, he's tried to strike guys out. Like, don't try to strike guys out. Just get guys out. And he was nibbling. No, just, you've got great stuff. Just throw the ball. And yeah, it's funny. You want pitchers to be pitchers. You don't want them to be throwers. I think he was trying to be a pitcher when he should have just been throwing. And because his stuff is that good. So on paper, he had no shot to win that game yesterday. If you just go on his track record against the Twins, he, in his last six starts against the Twins, was 0-6 with an ERA over 8.
Ugh. Wow.
And look what he did yesterday. So he's definitely different, and it'll be this gives him, the White Sox, some very interesting options in the playoffs, because I don't think he's going to get a start.
No. Yeah.
But if he's pitching like this and you can bring him out of the bullpen – like, that's an added plus for them in the playoffs.
I agree with you there, Chuck. He's destined for the pen, especially with the way Dunning has emerged, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think they're going to need a fifth starter in the playoffs. So you're going to have him. If Rodon can come back and give you a lefty reliever of his ilk in the playoffs, and Aaron Bummer, you're going to have a real strong bullpen in the postseason. This is a great, I don't call it a problem, but you're going to have a lot of excess arms in the playoffs that you don't have right now. So I think that's going to help this team, give them a better chance not only to win games in the playoffs, but win series, plural, in the playoffs, because you'll have, you know, trade deadline. Well, they didn't make any moves, but your trade deadline moves could be coming momentarily if Bummer is back and Rodon is back.
Are these the highs and lows, I'm talking about Yoan Moncada here. Are these the highs and lows that White Sox fans just have to come to grips with? You know, within a season to season, there are just going to be a lot of peaks and valleys because of some of the issues at the plate, some of the issues with making contact in the zone. I mean, is it just, are we going to, not that he's a bad player by any stretch of the imagination, but are we going to sort of ride this up and down roller coaster with Yoan Moncada?
Well, with Moncada, I mean, clearly he's not who he was last year. And I do believe it is a moment in time with him, whether it's, you know, it's a physical thing, a mental thing. He's just not there. He's not who he has been in the past. You know, we've heard about the leg soreness. We've heard about his after effects from COVID. 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts yesterday.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a home run, I think, in 21 games. Now, this is an offense that doesn't need to rely on one guy like Yoan Moncada, fortunately, and Luis Robertson tailspin as well. So the White Sox can get around this for now, but when you get into the playoffs, you know, I think the White Sox have been blowing the Royals out and blowing the Tigers out. When you get into the playoffs, you're going to see a lot more games like we saw yesterday. You're going to be facing better pitching, and if you can't get to the starter too much like they did against Maeda, they only got 2 runs on home runs, you got to get to the bullpen. And they're going to need Yoan Moncada over the course of the playoffs, however long the playoffs are going to be, to contribute. He hasn't really been contributing, you know, offensively like we've seen. And we had a game against the Twins earlier this week where, you know, he walked 3 times. So, I mean, he can still add something to the lineup, but he has not been – I mean, going into the season, we thought he'd be an MVP candidate, at least I thought he'd be. Now you've got, like, 6 guys who are hitting better than he is in this lineup, and it's a good problem to have in that scenario. But, yeah, he's right – you know, you got to hope that he and Robert will figure this out, and they still have a week and a half before the playoffs to get in, to kind of get in that hitting mode that we know they can, you know, they can start mashing again.
What do you think it is with Robert? Just, I mean, kind of natural, what you'd expect, 22 years old in his rookie season. It's sort of like that time to, you know, kind of the league really does start to figure you out a little bit. And they've played a lot of the same opponents, obviously, Chuck, because of the schedule. I mean, is it just we probably could have seen this coming at some point for Robert?
Yeah, I think he said that his timing's off. This will happen. And in a short season, when you go 10 days without hitting, it's like 40 days. It just feels like what's going on with him. I think he will figure it out. They're starting to give him more fastballs. And I think he's just a little off. Like, he's not. If this is a mental thing with him, like what, like they've made an adjustment to him and he's just not there yet. I think in this series against the Reds, I think he's going to start hitting. And I hope he does, because after the Reds series, you got the Indians with that pitching staff and they're not going to make it easy on him. So, but I think he's coming out of it this weekend.
It's exciting, isn't it, for them? I mean, after all, and for fans. I mean, Chuck, it's been 2008. It's forever.
And you can't enjoy it, Carm.
Well, that's not true. I mean,
you can't enjoy it live. In person, that's for sure.
But, I mean, it's like, it's so satisfying and rewarding. And it's so different than some of the playoff teams we've seen in the past, or at least it's even the teams that maybe teased us a little, like the 2012 team, where, you know, they used to just kind of throw money, silly money at aging veterans. And, yeah, you know, maybe they'd put together a 3/4 of a season or even a season where they sneak into the playoffs. This is so much different, Chuck. This is like this young group of guys that have all come up together, and it's working, and it's very satisfying to this point.
Oh, my God, yeah. I throw in the fact that we weren't even sure if there was going to be a season, and then once the season started, would it be able to be finished? And the word came out today that the Major League Baseball hasn't had a positive COVID test in, what was it, like a week or two? And then the positive COVID test was a false positive. So, like, we're going to probably finish this season, you know, knock on wood, and look what the Sox are doing. And they have the best record in the American League. They clinched a playoff spot. And, you know, celebrate it, Sox fans.
Yeah.
It's been 12 years.
Crazy.
It's a long, long time. I've been on that post-game show. How many games have I done? I don't even know. I've done like 1,000 post-game shows.
Yeah.
And about a team that, you know, hasn't gone into the playoffs in a long time. So enjoy it. You know, and if the playoffs only last for the White Sox, you know, 2 games, 3 games, more playoffs are coming. There's just way too much talent, way too much momentum, and great days are here and are ahead for the White Sox. So enjoy it. You know, And that's the thing of the Sox are giving so much joy to all of us who are Sox fans and who cover and follow this team, because there's a lot of crap going on that we have to deal with. It's been a great escape, and you know, it's enjoy all of this because it's, you don't know how long it's going to last, but enjoy the moments and when you get them.
The MLB Network did not exist the last time the White Sox went to the postseason. I mean, Heidi Watney was like joking about they were doing their highlight show last night. She said there are only three teams that haven't made the postseason since we existed as a network. And she said, now you could say two because the White Sox have made it. The other two, I'm trying to remember who she said now. Seattle, probably, right? Seattle hasn't been in the playoffs in like 20 years.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't even know off the top of my head who the other would be. Maybe
nobody in the AL Central.
Maybe the Padres. I don't know. That's going to change this year, too. But yeah, that's incredible. And Chuck's been doing how many postgame shows, and he hasn't talked about a team that's made the playoffs, and now here they are. So enjoy it indeed. Chuck, we'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. All right, buddy?
All right, you guys too.
Thanks, pal.
All right, Chuck.
Yeah, there's Chuck Garfine, at Chuck Garfine on Twitter, and he covers the Sox for NBC Sports Chicago. And yeah, I'm trying to think of who else it would have been, and I'm guessing this Texas feels like it's going to be the first time in a long time the Padres are in, right, Yerk? Yeah, Padres last made it in 05 and 06.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. And that's Major League Baseball Network, is that what you say?
Yes, which has been around about 10 years.
Okay,
yeah.
So 2010.
Yeah, so the Sox, I think it was the Sox, the Padres, and the Mariners. So the Mariners will still be on that list. Poor Mariners.
Well, you get what you get. Seattle had a great run in the late 90s, right?
Yeah.
Early 2000s.
Early 2000s.
When they had A-Rod,
I don't know if it was ever great. It was more disappointing for them.
Ramirez, Edgar Ramirez.
Well, right? Martinez, Randy Johnson.
1 year was certainly disappointing. Like they made it in 95, 97, 2000, and 2001. And a couple of those years was after Griffey. After Griffey left.
Junior
leaving Seattle.
You need a water car? I mean, you go ahead and take it. Just
it was after
water.
Griffey left and after A-Rod left. Remember, they brought in Ichiro, who won the MVP his rookie season.
That's right, 01.
And they, at the time, right, they set the record for most wins in a season, right?
116. Lou Piniella, the manager.
116 and 46. In 2000, they won 91 games, and they beat the White Sox in the first round, unfortunately.
Yeah, Mike Cameron.
The Mike Cameron.
How about
game.
That?
Yes, Lou Piniella talking to Mike Cameron. Remember, boy, it's good
to
be called by you.
Look at that brain. Look at the brain on Brad.
Gamesmanship by Lou Piniella. Look at the brain on
another
Brad.
Movie reference.
That's right. You're smart.
Pulp Fiction.
The metric system.
Okay, can we get a golf update at all?
Yeah, we'll do it next. Merkin will give us a U.S. Open update. Yurko's guys who we drafted in our pool here. I mean, they're lighting Wingfoot on fire.
By the way, +3 right now is the expected cut.
+3. We'll take some phone calls as well if you want to talk Bears, Giants, the A-Rob situation. 312-332-3776. Carmen and Yurko coming right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Happy Football Friday. Hope you're having a great day. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll get a U.S. Open update here from Mr. Golf himself, Randy Merkin, in just a second. Chris is in Hammond on ESPN 1000. What up, Chris?
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
All right. It's just something I just really wanted to say about this whole A-Rob thing. I want to say to Ryan Pace, how dare you? How dare you, sir? How dare you hold down on the one guy and not pay him or play around his contract that makes your golden boy? Like, he's the one man that you're balancing, like the one man that you're balancing the team's future on, talking about Mitch, the man you're balancing his Asian defense's window on, and the one man that makes Mitch even look halfway decent. I mean, he stares him down the whole route and still catches him at inaccurate balls. And, like, you're balancing the future on Mitch, and everybody knows it to the point where Teddy Bridgewater eliminated us from consideration because he already knew that this wasn't a real quarterback competition and that you were already in favor of Mitch. So it was almost impossible to win it. So how dare you play with his contract? Because if A-Rob leaves, Mitch is going to look 100 times worse than he already looked.
Well,
so I just want to get you guys opinion on that.
Thank you, Chris. He's not leaving, and that's the thing I think that is important to remember here. And the one great advantage that these clubs do have, and the one great sort of piece of leverage, as Yurko would say, is that franchise tag. I mean, you know,
and that's what it's there for.
And that's what it's there for. It benefits the team. I also was reading
that way. If you draft guys, you got a chance to keep your guys.
Right.
Unless you're Jacksonville. You just get rid of all your
just
guys.
Dump them all. Yurk, I was reading Graziano wrote that because the salary cap is expected to drop, so will the tag for receivers. Instead of going up, which it was about 17.8 last year, their quick math had it at about 15.7. That's the estimation for next year, that it's going to drop because the salary cap is going to go down. But I thought they did that on the average of the previous year's salaries for the position.
I agree. You know, the revenues are down, the cap number comes down, but that's not affecting the contracts that are currently in place.
That, I don't know.
They're not going to be affected by 10% or 15%.
Because I thought the cap was always based off of the previous year's
revenues. Right, not the cap. Salary cap.
Not the cap. Not the cap.
Totally different.
The franchise tag.
Yes.
The franchise tag is predicated on the previous year's average of the top five players at that position.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I mean, Dan Graziano knows a lot more than I do.
He does, but that can't come down unless the contracts are down.
And
the salary cap comes down, doesn't automatically take that number down.
Yeah, I mean,
that number stays the same. It's now, do I utilize that cap or do I utilize the tag or not?
Yeah.
Do I use the tag if I've got to guarantee him this kind of money, knowing that the salary cap's coming down? There's going to be a financial crisis around the NFL.
Right.
And what you're going to have to do is sacrifice players. You're going to have to look at your lineup and say, I got to sacrifice there, there, and there. That's what you're going to have to do.
Because of that ability, because of the tag is there, I just don't envision a scenario in which Allen Robinson is not here. I'm sorry. I mean, if they can't come to an agreement, Allen Robinson's going to play out this year. Hopefully it's a good year for the Bears, and he's relatively happy, and he contributes the way he did last year. They're going to get to the offseason, and by March, if there's no deal, they're going to probably put the franchise tag on Allen Robinson. I mean, there's nobody else that's a candidate. Right, guys? We joked yesterday what it would take for Mitch to get a franchise tag. You'd got to be kidding me. Mitch would have to go out and throw 40 touchdowns to five to eight. I'll give you 5-1, 40-8 interceptions. That ain't happening, okay? If it does, I'll eat crow like Sylvie did. We'll have Chef Todd Stein from Bristol and from Formentos come in and make me. What did he make, Sylvie? Squab, I think, right? Pigeon? Is that what it is? He can't really eat a crow, but he made pigeon. I'll eat the pigeon.
His meatballs are unbelievable.
His meatballs are unbelievable.
It's a bit of an empty promise that you're proclaiming here.
Why?
I'll have a chef come in and prepare me a nice pigeon as a result of a proclamation I make. I see what you're doing.
Well, I don't want to eat a pigeon. I'm sorry.
I know, but that's my point. It's not really a consequence if you come out here and say...
If you get a nice meal made for yourself, it's not really a consequence.
Like, I'm having to make me Chateaubriand.
Don't come out here and say I'm going to eat crow. Like, I kind of called BS.
You want me to eat the actual crow? Well,
no, I'm saying it's not a proclamation of I will do this if...
Hey, Carm, swap
a world-class chef.
If Mitch throws 40 touchdown passes, I will bring in a world-class chef and have him prepare me...
Squab.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of loses a little bit of its luster, is all I'm saying.
Which is a delicacy, Carm.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
We got a lot of world-class chef friends. Chef Max over at Longman and Eagle. We got a lot of guys. They can come prepare me something nice. I think this is the bet we should make. If Mitch throws 40 touchdown passes, I will have Longman and Eagle cater us an entire lunch. Cow tongue's not bad. Lengua tacos, that's good.
Cow brain is really
good. No, that I'm not eating. Yeah. See, there I'm drawing the line. You're right.
Cow brain is good.
Yeah, I can't. I don't care who's preparing it.
Because I don't think
you
Mitch
get John George preparing that. I ain't eating that.
Any of us think Mitch is throwing 40 touchdown passes. Even if he throws 20 picks, he's not throwing 40 touchdowns.
And so that's the thing. Like, short of that, there's not a candidate for the franchise tag. The franchise tag is going to Allen Robinson if they need it. And he'll play on it next year in all likelihood, even if he's not as happy as he would be under a different circumstance where he got his contract. Who should we go to here? Danny's in Schaumburg. He is back from Las Vegas. He went last week. He called us last Friday.
Vegas report.
He asked for some tips. I told him not to catch syphilis. You come back okay?
I think so far so good, Carm, but I'll keep you posted on that. Okay?
Go get a COVID test and a syphilis test. Make sure you're good.
I did go
get the COVID test yesterday because I want to go over to my parents. I want to make sure I'm safe.
Are you all good?
I find out, like they said, like 2 to 4 days. But they stuck the thing up my schnoz. It was nothing. You know, people going, oh, it hurts.
I don't want to think about it. All right, so how was Vegas? What was it like week one of the NFL? Normally it's a booming weekend.
So it was a ball. I have plenty of stories that I'll tell you guys off the air because they're not so politically correct.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Of course. Maybe the story of how you possibly contracted syphilis. So we'll see. You tell us off the air.
Yeah. Well, I got it off the air. Okay. But no, they have some ridiculous COVID policies that make absolutely no sense. And I think they're just trying to make people insane. So I would maybe hold off on going a couple months and see if the restrictions lighten up a little bit. But all in all, we had a gay old time. I lost a little bit of money, nothing too serious, considering I was gambling and drinking for 72 hours straight.
Right.
But yeah, it was nice and hot. Caesars was nice, and I can't wait to go back.
Give us the one most sort of, in your mind, a ridiculous COVID procedure that you're referencing. Like what was in the rules that affected your ability to have a good time?
I got two for you. Okay, so you cannot sit at a bar anywhere. However, there are high tables literally a foot away, which no problem.
That is kind of silly. I get you there. Okay.
The pool. Caesars has four beautiful pools. They're only allowing 30% capacity, and you have to get down there right at 8 o'clock or make a. You got to pay that to get in. It's 97 degrees out, sunny as you know what, and chlorine everywhere, and you're constantly being bothered, sir, can you put your mask back on? You're not by anybody, so what you do is you act like you're drinking. I'm drinking, leave me alone, get away.
All right, Danny.
it's insane.
All right.
So, but I called to pay the piper.
Okay.
About our little Booker bet.
Oh, yeah, we got the Sox made it, right? I keep forgetting this wager. What was the wager?
It was if the Sox make the playoffs or not.
Yeah, I get a bottle of Booker's. You owe me. Oh, beautiful. And can you
text me which one you want, though, so that way I don't remember what it is exactly.
You go get the newest Booker, whatever the newest batch is that's out now. They release them by batches now.
Right. It's Basil Hayden, okay. Baker's, and Booker's. They'll all be next to each other because they're made by the same company. Booker's. Booker's is in the box. You can't miss it.
They're probably on batch 2 or 3 for the year. I don't even know.
What I'm going to do is I'll bring it to Turkey before Turkey if we have it. Governor allows it.
Ain't happening, smart guy. And you can just bring it down by the station one day. You text me when you're here, all right?
All right,
goodbye.
Ken, I sent you that picture of that Henry McKenna I saw.
Did you buy it?
No, they had 6 bottles, $44. I felt like I was being taken advantage of.
No, that's good price these days, Yerk.
I felt like I was being taken. I found them bottles for $26 the time I picked one up
for you. Well, that's before it won. I mean,
it was after it won, Carm. It was last year in the fall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. $26. I mean, after it won Best Bourbon, it won Best Whiskey. Only did it win Best Bourbon, it won Best Whiskey. Yeah. At the San Francisco competition last spring.
Ours is going to win the Best Whiskey this year.
I had some of ours last night. Yeah. Again, our Bub City pick that we did. Yeah, you can buy it at Bub City now. There aren't many bottles left. I understand the rush on it was pretty significant.
Good.
I bought, I stopped in there. I had to buy a couple for some friends that need a bottle. And one for our bourbon club, the Adventures Society of Chicago. And I had a little bit last night. And it is, I'm telling you, man, it is from Warehouse A there in Tyrone. And
did you get
fantastic.
The special price or did you get the Yurko price?
I got the regular price. I paid full price, Yurko. Okay. Smart guy. Vito is in Plainfield on ESPN 1000. What up, Vito?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. Hey, listen, Cicero guy. So you grew up kind of like in the Berwyn area too, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. All right.
Love it.
Hey, listen, don't knock pigeon, man.
No, not is it good? Bad. Yeah, I don't.
Hey, listen, my dad grew up on Grand Avenue in Walcott.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, my grandparents lived on a second floor. So if you're not familiar with that area, all the houses are like, there's like a foot in between each house. You barely could walk in between each house.
Sure, like the gangways were really tight, yeah.
Yeah, so my grandfather would throw like breadcrumbs and stuff on top of the roof, and then he would look at the reflection of the house right next to theirs, and when the pigeons would come down, he'd reach up and he would grab them. My grandmother would pluck them. She would pluck them and get them all ready, and then with garlic and wine, and then as she would make it with polenta.
Italian,
you know,
style.
What that is, right?
Oh, of course, Brian. Yeah. Come on. It's Italian style pigeon. Who, Vito? Who knew?
Did you ever have dove?
I've never had dove.
Dove's close to the pigeon family.
Yeah, it's a delicacy, I guess.
Dove is phenomenal.
Vito, thanks, buddy. Maybe we'll try Italian style pigeon here at some point. We'll come up with some bet.
Yeah,
pigeon
for French essay, you know, something.
If
fancy.
Mitch throws 40 touchdowns, I'm just glad that I won my bottle of Booker's from Danny and Schomburg. Pete's in Buffalo. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys, Pete here. Actually, former intern of the Afternoon Saloon back in December 2010.
Oh, my goodness. No kidding.
Back when we had interns.
Way back in the day, right. Pete. All right.
Yeah, I remember one time you guys sent me down to the Taste of Chicago to come bring you guys what I thought everybody would like.
That was the old intern challenge. Right. You could come back with the better food for $25.
Not freeze-dried, but deep-fried ice cream.
I love it.
Oh, it was always something special.
What's going on, Pete?
You know, I just wanted to give a little shout-out to the good kid, Johnny Glass Half Full over there, Johnny Positivity. I remember a couple weeks before the baseball season, I was sitting outside, and I'm listening to you guys, and Buster Olney's on here talking about 0% chance they're going to end the season, maybe a 30% chance to even start. And Johnny sits there and he says, guys, 100% chance we're starting, 100% chance we're finishing. Let's do it. This is a business. They're going to figure this out. And you know what? That kind of stuck with me the whole season. And I don't want to, you know, count my chickens here, but it looks like you might be right. So I want to give you some props on that.
Pete, good hearing from you, buddy. And here goes Mr. Positivity. There's still, you know, maybe a few hurdles. Let's see. We still got about another month, but it's looking good. Yeah, and Buster's proclamation, 0%. He was being a real Debbie Downer through that whole thing.
He was. And, you know, maybe because he was getting the influx of the information and the propaganda that was coming from different sides. All I'm saying, Carm, is we're Americans. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
What is it that we do?
We thrive.
Did you ever go to the Hoover Dam?
I've never been to the Hoover Dam, no. I've been to some very impressive dams.
In the construction of the Hoover Dam?
No.
Did you ever see the Golden Gate Bridge?
I have. It's a marvel.
You know, people died doing that. You know what we do? We do.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, somebody falls.
The Golden Gate Bridge is spectacular.
You take a knee, you sign it across, you say a little prayer to St. Francis of Assisi, and then you know what you do? You get up and you go back to work. Yeah. That's what we do. Americans do.
Let's hope we finish. I think we will. It's looking good now after an inauspicious start.
Let's have a quick meeting on the air here. We've got to get Yurko's keys, and we've got to get his parlay still. No, we want to do that. No, we need keys.
We're going to do it coming up next.
Sponsored? Yeah. What's the difference?
We're going to do Yurko's. We're going to do Yurko's smoking hot keys to a Bears victory. He'll throw out his parlay, I know I've been saying you're going to give an open update. Let's get an update coming up.
I've got a stat for you on what's going on right now.
At the U.S. Open?
Wingfoot,
All right, you give it to us coming up next.
Finau's going the wrong way.
Carmen and Yurko, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Sam Adams is celebrating the return of sports to Chicago. Every day we're highlighting one of the best bars in Chicagoland. Today we salute Lizzie McNeil's in Streeterville.
Oh, yeah.
Lizzie McNeil's offers a large outdoor patio and a sidewalk cafe that allows for easy social distancing this sports season. It's located at 400 North McClure Court. Lizzie McNeil's offers over 40 Irish whiskeys and 4 Irish beers on draft. Couple that with a $6 Sam Adams Oktoberfest, and Lizzie McNeil's is a great place to welcome the return of sports to Chicago.
It's Carmen and Yurko on a football Friday with a little baseball and golf sprinkled in, right, Merck? Give us the Open update. The United States Open round 2 at Venerable Wingfoot on Long Island.
All right, thank you. Right now, Carmen Yurk, there are 72 golfers on the course. Can you tell me how many are under par?
For the tournament or for today?
For today. Today's round.
72 on the course.
Five.
Yurk?
I'll say 5.
3.
Wow.
And one's finished, and he doubled the last hole. Bubba Watson shot a 69. And Dustin Johnson and Daniel Berger have the only two other rounds right now.
Thank God my guy Daniel Berger coming back after yesterday a little bit. He didn't have a great day yesterday.
So right now your leader, Justin Thomas, who doesn't tee off till after 1 o'clock, is 5 under. Patrick Reed, also a late tee time, is 4 under. Rory's 3 under. All these guys don't tee off till later. Rafa's in. Rafa Cabrera-Bello shot even par 70 today, so he's 2 under. Usti's 1 over.
Usti.
He's 2 under. Xander just put one 10 feet from the pin on, I think, on 16. He is
attaboy, Xander.
Even right now in the day as well. He's 2 under. And then you got a bunch of people, Jason Kokrak, Brendan Todd, Harris English, all at 2 under. They tee off a little like over an hour from now. And Bryson DeChambeau, who's being criticized yesterday in the broadcast. I don't know if you guys were watching it.
No.
Because he has basically said, blank you to the USGA. I'm coming in and playing my game. He's used driver on almost every single hole, and he's gouging him out and getting. He's doing okay. He's even par right now in the day.
All right, nice.
He's 1 under.
Never works for him.
And Phil, it's not going to happen for Phil, unfortunately. I'm looking for Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, you keep looking.
He's two over on the day. He's plus 11. The cut right now is plus six, and he's through 14 holes. So that guy who put $45,000 down on Phil to win the U.S. Open is not going to happen.
That ain't gonna work.
That money is gone.
Two hole-in-ones on the
holes
first day.
In
holes
one.
In one.
Patrick Reed had a hole-in-one, and the other one was by?
A kid who plays on the Korn Ferry Tour. Zuteris is his name? Will Zuteris or something like that?
I watched that happen yesterday.
Yeah, that one, the second one live.
How'd you like that? You don't win a skin.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same hole.
Oh,
so you
really?
Get your hole-in-one, some other guy tops you with a hole-in-one.
Yeah.
No skin if you're playing skins.
Of course, it's playing as hard as everybody thought it.
And they're saying this afternoon's going to be brutal because the wind's supposed to pick up. And I heard yesterday also that they purposely made the pins, at least in the first day, tougher or easier because they want to get everyone through. Because they have 140, they usually don't have 144 golfers out there, I guess. I don't know. They're concerned. Oh, I know what it is, because it's so late in the season. That so they were concerned.
Sun doesn't rise and the sun doesn't set like it does normally.
Right, so they were concerned to get everyone done.
Yeah.
But it's going to be brutal out there today.
One other note too before Yurko's keys, the Western Conference Finals start tonight at 8. First of all, congrats to I shouldn't say congrats. They've only got a 2-game lead, but still, Jimmy Buckets is closing in, man. He might get there. So that was another thrilling finish last night, and Boston's got to be searching for answers here. They've done exactly what they wanted to do. They've been in position. They can't close out the games. They couldn't close out game one or game two. And the Heat are now 10-1 straight up and against the spread in the postseason. Western Conference Finals start tonight. I still have my Nuggets 10-1 to win the West ticket. I don't know how after they were down 3-1 in both their previous series. I don't think they have much of a shot against the Lakers, but who knows? I want to give you guys this stat real quick. LeBron and AD going into this final series in the West are combining to average 54 points, 21 rebounds, and 13 assists per game in the playoffs. That's unbelievable. Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray are combining to average 52.5 points, 17 rebounds, and 12.5 assists per game. Did you guys know this is only the second time in NBA postseason history that a series features two teams with teammates that average at least 25 points per game in the playoffs? Only the second time ever. Do you know the first time it happened? 1989. I'll even give you the year.
Well, it's Detroit.
Doesn't have to be the finals. It's just a playoff series.
I've got you.
1989.
And I'll even give you another hint. Yeah. The series was out in the West.
Okay,
I was
about to
say. Conference semis.
1989, the Denver Nuggets have to be involved.
The Denver Nuggets are not involved. It's a good guess, though. I see why you'd say that with Alex English,
Doug Mose,
Fat Lever.
Doug Mose off.
Is it Portland?
It is not Portland. That's a good guess.
Good guess back in the late 80s.
It's a very good guess, Yurko.
Well, I'll say the Lakers.
It's not the Lakers.
Seattle.
It is not Seattle. You're getting...
Phoenix.
Phoenix is one of the teams.
Aha!
And the players, Tom Chambers and Kevin Johnson, were both averaging 25 a game that year. The other team, the opponent, the Golden State Warriors.
Wow.
With Chris Mullin and Mitch Richmond.
Sure.
So only the second time in playoff history that it's happening. Maybe they do have a shot. I don't know. Seems unlikely to me the way AD and LeBron are playing right now. Yurko. I ask you, at this very critical time on this Football Friday, the Bears are getting ready for the Giants in week number 2. They are trying to go 2-0. Yurko, if the Bears are going to go 2-0, what are the keys to the game?
This is Yurko's Keys to the Game.
Trubisky stepping up, fires down the sideline. Robinson makes the catch.
Yurko gives us what to watch for in this week's Bears game.
And it's intercepted. Jackson
under pressure again. Can he get away? No, he can't. Of course it's Mac.
Yurko's Keys to the Game, only on ESPN 1000.
Carmen, I'm glad you asked, my friend. And key number one.
You guys a whistle show or a tackle show?
We do a tackle.
Tackle?
Yeah.
All right, then I'll give you a whistle.
Thank you. Key number one. We got to create some pass rush. No pass rush last week. It caused problems for the Chicago Bears defense. They didn't nearly look as efficient as they possibly could. I need more of a pass run. I don't know about the Mighty Quinn and what the hell he's doing or why.
Practice today, which is good.
I'd like to see him back out there to give me that defensive line at full-fledged. Key number two.
You know who, real quick, you know who missed practice today? Akeem Hicks with an illness, though. So hopefully he's good to go in 48 hours.
Key number two.
We got to force turnovers also, Carm. We only forced one turnover last week.
And they won the turnover battle, though.
Yeah, it's not going to get the 36 to the 38 they had in 2018. We got to get our hands on more balls. We got to force some fumbles. And where is that beautiful, along with the sacks, the strip, force fumble, recover fumble, maybe pick it up and even score and return it for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Key number three. Let's keep that running game going. I like what I saw. 25 carries out of your running back / receivers last week. Mitch Trubisky only had to run it three times. I like it when I see that, and they look like they're running it with good results. I mean, this is four and a half yards a carry last week out of your running back. So that certainly you want to see that happen. Lighten the load, maybe make the play action stuff work for the Chicago Bears. Key matchup.
A key matchup. All right.
Mitch Trubisky against Mitch Trubisky's brain. Okay, that's the key matchup. Think long, think wrong. You've got to react on the field. I want to see more reaction and less thinking out of number 10. You know that weird look he has with his head squished in his helmet that just like the whole world's passing him by, like he's in a scene from Inception where things are kind of rolling over and cities are folding under each other?
Mm-hmm.
That look, he needs to disappear. And that look of confidence and just, I'm going to go out, drop back, see what I see, and throw the ball where it needs to go. And those are the keys to a Bears victory.
Smoking hot. Bears. We'll get Mike North's bonus play when he joins us coming up next.
And it's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko. And at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Oh, baby, we got Yurko's 13-team stinger. That's right, 13-team stinger coming up here in just a second. But first, it's time for the bonus play with our buddy Mike North. Now, we have a full hour of we got so much to talk about tonight, Mike and I. I mean, 7 to 8 after Black and Abdallah, after the baseball show, we're going to have lots of great stuff for you. NFL, college, Stanley Cup Final begins tomorrow, NBA. So we'll talk about all of it, plus Jim Miller with some picks for the weekend. A lot of races at Hawthorne tomorrow. So don't miss the odds couple 7 to 8 tonight here on ESPN 1000. Mike joins us now on the Corona Hotline for the bonus play. He is at North to North on Twitter. What's going on, Mike?
Don't sugarcoat it. There's no way. We got knocked out last week.
We had a rough week.
All I'm going to say is this. There's been five defining moments that I remember in life. The Kennedy assassination, Elvis dead at 42, the moon landing, Tyson losing to Douglas, and the odds couple last week.
Yeah, it was bad. And you know what makes me feel, you know what makes me mad? I actually went 5-3 last weekend. The two best bets I gave out both lost. I mean, I didn't have a bad weekend, but my two best bets were losses.
I gave out the Celtics. I gave out North Carolina.
Yeah.
We gave out four or five leads. Maybe we should just pick winners instead of getting pigeonholed, because I'll tell you this right now. Do you remember the movie No Country for Old Men?
Love it.
Okay, one of my favorite movies. I had the Giants, okay, this past week. I had the over in that game, all right, and I had the Giants +6. I should have won both. I'm not crying about it. But Jason Garrett, after a 19-play drive, decides that he's going to be Shigur and follow me up the stairs like I'm Carson. Okay, shall we go to your room? And he has the quarterback roll to his left and throw against his body and throw an interception on the goal line. That was the game there. Sometimes it only takes one play, but we're accountable. And tonight, I'm coming back with a vengeance.
We're coming back strong.
I'm coming. Oh, my hot. I carried it like luggage all week.
I know. It always gets
I've been walking with a limp. I didn't even twist an ankle.
It chaps me, too. I know. All right, so what do we like for the bonus play? What are we thinking?
Well, first of all, the Bears did upset Detroit last week.
Yes.
People aren't even talking about it. It was an upset. The Bears beat Detroit. In the meantime, Green Bay wins 45-34. Okay. All right. They score points. But I know that the Bears aren't going to let them score 45. And I do know that they let Minnesota score 34. I'm looking at the Detroit Lions, who basically had three good quarters, while the Bears only had one good quarter, to finish the job and cover the 6.5. It might be by 7 by then at Green Bay. So I like Detroit. Galladay is hurting a little bit, but they expect him to play. Matthew Stafford, to me, if he was on other teams. I'm not holding him blameless. If he was on the Cowboys or other teams, I think he'd be a better QB. But he's got a lot to answer for, too, because Trubisky did outplay him in the fourth quarter. But I just think they're gonna keep it close. And it's tough for a team to have two big weeks in a row. We'll find out about Green Bay, and we'll find it out if the Lions are frauds. And what they did with the Bears is going to be more of a normal thing.
Lions getting the 6.5. Love it, Mikey. I'll see you tonight for Odds Couple, okay?
All right, guys. All right, take buddy. Care.
See you. There he is, Mike North, Mikey, with the bonus play. I like, I'm not going to be betting the Lions. I told Hoodie and Cap that earlier. I joined them for a little handicapping segment at the end of their show every Friday. If you're asking me to pick a side, I also would be on the Lions this weekend. I think the Packers in that line in week two might be a little inflated. Yurko, give us the 13-team stinger that you are playing this weekend. If this hits, I'm buying you a big lunch anywhere you want on Monday.
Are you actually playing this or just
yeah, for, no, okay. I'm going to stop him. I'm going to play
he's
this.
Not, okay.
Yeah.
He's not.
Okay. Absolutely.
The only thing he's got on the line here is if he hits it, he can brag, and I'm going to buy him a nice lunch.
Listen, and if there's no money behind it, why am I listening?
No, first of all, there is money behind it. So what you need to do is pipe down.
All right, go ahead.
And figure out what the cut is at the U.S. Open, all right?
Nobody cares.
You quiet down.
Go ahead.
I want to know what the cut is.
You
the
guys PGA are quibbling.
Tour, the PGA Tour has a different cut line than the U.S. Open Tour, the USGA.
Right. I don't know.
I'm upset.
All right,
because he's being a jerk.
Go ahead.
Rams in a pick 'em.
You're taking the Rams.
I got the Rams.
Okay.
I got the Pack minus the 6.5 in the over.
All right, so you're going against me, Mike. All
Panthers
right.
plus, well, with your trends.
Well, it was I think bad that's last week.
Perfectly intelligent don't forget of me to
who
do that.
Don't forget who won 60% of his NFL bets.
Carm, that was last year. This is this year, true. Okay? You want to tell me about the trophy you won in third grade?
I like the Panthers this weekend. That's
Panthers plus 8.5 in the over is 47 in the chair.
I like it.
Jaguars plus 7.5, Carm.
I like it.
I don't think they're going to win, but I think they're going to keep it tight.
I like it.
And the over is 44 in that one. Bears minus 5.5. The over is 42. I'm taking the over.
Okay.
Now, these are just team plays coming up the next two. You don't like these, I have a feeling.
Let's hear them.
I got Cardinals minus the 7, a touchdown.
I would take Washington in that game. That's okay. That's unfamiliar fine. Spot for Kyler Murray here. This is only the second time in his career he's been a favorite, and when he was last year, they got absolutely drilled.
Baltimore.
I like Baltimore.
Minus 7.
That I do like.
Then I've got Seattle minus the 4 and the over, which is 44.5.
I like it.
So you've got 8 teams, and you've got 5 overs. And I cheer for overs. I don't play unders. I'm sorry.
Yeah, unders are tough to play. I know.
No, they're boring.
Yurko tweeted that, too. If anybody wants to see it, I retweeted it, and Yurko tweeted it. At Yurko64 and at Carmen DeFalco. Bears final score. What do you think? They haven't covered. They've lost one. They've won one. They didn't cover either game the last 2 years when they were favored against the Giants. What do you think for this weekend?
I think this week it's going to be 28-17.
I think the Bears win 24-21 this weekend.
28-17.
That'd be a cover. We both think the Bears are going to win. Let's hope they do. And they move to 2-0. Let's hope Mitch plays better. Not just in the fourth quarter, but the whole game. Fun Football Friday. Greeny's up next. Waddle and Sylvie 2-6. In the afternoon, and then Black and Abdallah of the Baseball Show 6-7, and Mike and I will be back on the air 7-8 with the Odds Couple tonight. Everybody, have a great weekend. Enjoy all the football. Thank you to Chuck Garfine for joining us, and thank you to Dan Wiederer for joining us.
Hey, Carmen, quick shout-out to my nephew, Jacob, has a birthday today.
Jacob, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jake.
Thank you to Randy Merkin, Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss, our great producers. For York, I'm Carmen, and we will see you on Monday morning after Cap and Jay Hood. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
Well, I don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia!